Hi, everyone. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and we are your go-to podcast for all things love, relationships, and of course, romance novels. I'm Becky, and I'm thrilled to have you join us for today's special episode. Joining me for this delightful discussion are fellow bookworms and romance aficionados, Lindsay, Leah, and Heather. Hi, friends.
Hi.
How's it going? How's your Sunday?
It's been a trip the past 10 minutes.
It's 10 minutes of chaos, right? It's fine. We're here. It's going. Okay, so we have our term of the week this week.
Oh.
It is the second half of our term of the week last week. So if you haven't listened to last week's episode or watched it here on the YouTube, last week we gave the definition of what content warnings were, which in the midst of my content warning, I said it's similar to like ratings, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, because technically literature already has ratings, like
this is true.
G, PG, PG-13, and R. So we already have that with words such as children's, middle grade,
adult.
YA, new adult, and adult. Mm-hmm. So no, content warnings are not technically ratings, but they're similar. It's going to be a broader scope of what's in the book.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk trigger warnings, a trigger warning is a specific type of content warning that highlights material that could possibly trigger a traumatic memory or emotional distress in some readers. Trigger warnings are more targeted and typically focus on themes like sexual assault, self-harm, abuse, or other traumatic experiences. They are intended to help readers who have experienced trauma to avoid content that may cause significant distress or harm, emotional harm. Trigger warnings acknowledge the potential impact of certain contents on individuals' mental health and well-being. They're aiming to provide them with the opportunity to prepare the reader emotionally, and they can also choose to avoid that material altogether. So that is the difference, the scope of content mm-hmm. warning trigger. So I would say typically when we do our quick shots, we're probably giving more content warnings.
Mm-hmm.
Unless mm-hmm. something really big and impactful happens.
Well, and like if there's something that, because there are some people in our community that like we know their triggers. And so like every once in a while, like we'll really preface like the quick shots with that information. So it's more of a, mm-hmm. we kind of follow the community content and triggers like sure. that we know, but they're for other people as well.
Yeah.
Consent. If consent isn't in there, that can be a trigger.
We always talk about that.
Yeah. And so one of the things somebody has brought up recently, I can't remember if it was on IG, TikTok, or if it was here. Content warnings and trigger warnings, who is responsible for them? Is it author/publisher? Is it fellow readers and reviews? And I think that this comes down to being a good community member. And we mm-hmm. talk about this a lot, right? We talk about how if you're a reader, you are inherently a member of the reading community. So mm-hmm. it's everybody's job. Does an author have to do specifics? No, they can give generalities.
Well, but also
they should do something.
They should do something, but this is something newer too. Like this, I'd say in the past like 5-6 years is where the content warnings, well, not so much the content so much, but the trigger warnings have definitely become like a hot button issue. Because
yeah.
honestly, like 10 years ago, you didn't get trigger warnings and you went into a book completely blind. And if you got triggered, you got triggered. And I mean, sorry, friend, was basically like how it went. But I mean, 10 years ago life was different than 10 years ago, like life or 10 years now. So it's that's something too.
I think the accessibility of reviews has also impacted that because mm-hmm. like 10, 15 years ago, like you couldn't just access widespread reviews like you can yeah. now. There's Goodreads, there's Amazon, there's all these formats. So like with that, it's become a hot and common thing to see it in the reviews, mm-hmm. in the blogs, in the blog tours and things like that. And because of that awareness and just like the level of access and communication we have through social media, I think we're going to see more things like that happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that there's been an awakening of emotional and mental health
mm-hmm.
and a care that comes with that now. And I'm okay with that. Like, I'm absolutely okay with that. And do I think that there's certain books, like from older books, because that's one of the things we're talking about today. So it goes into our topic a little bit. But some older books do not hold up and 1,000% need content and trigger warnings.
Oh, yeah.
Did they have them when we read them? No. But in
but
order,
life was different then.
Right. In order to care for our community going forward, it's absolutely a good practice.
Well, and I think that's where the thing is, like, nobody's really sure who should put them out there because it was never a thing before. Right. So it's like, you can't be mad at an author who's been established for 15, 20 years for not doing it because it's not something that they've ever had to do.
But if they do it for one book.
Right.
And
but
they
if,
write.
But if they don't do it for anything.
Right. Well. Like,
because they're used to the status quo. I'm not saying that's a good thing.
Well,
I'm just
Heather and I recently came across to Sawyer Bennett with her book, Bane. She mm-hmm. gave a content and trigger warning. Yep. And I believe with Boone, that dealt with a very heavy topic, it gave mm-hmm. a content and trigger warning.
The yep. Callum.
Callum, which deals with a really big, traumatic, could be harmful to reader topic. Nothing. Crickets.
Yeah.
And that upsets me because she did it for the two previous books, but didn't do it for this one, which might not be triggering for her, which I think the other two things in the yeah. previous two books were personally triggering for her. This one wasn't necessarily a personal experience,
mm-hmm.
but it was just as potentially devastating to a reader as the previous yeah. two. And it really upset me. So I was very clear in my reviews that it was mm-hmm. there.
Well, and that's the thing, like if you included the like a content warning, like yeah. trigger
it,
warning.
It needed it. It really, really needed it.
Well, and that's the thing. If you're going to start using it and you're going to start using them, you need to kind of blanket everything going forward.
Yeah. And I do know that a lot of publishers will not put them in, even if an author requests them. So right. many authors are creating a page on their own websites outside mm-hmm. of the publisher that will list them. So
yeah.
So when the reason I bring this up is I just want to kind of blanket and say, just because you're not seeing it in an author's book, you might check their author their website.
Yeah, because Katie Robert has a page. Mariah Enkeman has a page. Yep. There's somebody else that I just was floating their website the other day that they have a page, but I can't remember who it is.
Adriana Herrera does.
But more and more are popping yeah. up because they have full control and they're actually a little more detailed on the website ones than you sometimes get like in the bottom of the blurbs.
And I know that Amazon is hanky mm-hmm. with you putting them in the book and listing them. If you go too yeah. specific, Amazon gets hanky and will deny your manuscript. So a lot mm-hmm. of authors will put in their ebooks or in their paperbacks, please check out my website here for full yeah. content and trigger warnings. Yeah. So, it's just something to keep thought of. Go ahead, Delindsay.
We are starting to see content and trigger warnings in the promos. Like when authors mm-hmm. are doing their mm-hmm. or whatever. Like I've noticed that that's more common now too. Like at the end of the blurb in the promo, you'll see a lot of like trigger warnings. And I think mm-hmm. that more like for me, I think I like that more than it being necessarily in the book or in the blurb, because I don't always read the book or read that
well,
stuff
in
the blurb, and it's good to know before you even have to download it.
Yeah.
In the books, though, too, depending on where an author picks to choose to start their book, because you can start to your book on the cover, or you can start it on page one of like the story. Mm-hmm. So if an author puts the content and trigger warnings in the front matter, but they start on page one, you're missing those things anyway. So it's like they format for a paperback, but then they like start the ebook like after that fact.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a moot point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can pick where it starts.
So this episode is a little different, but it's going to be so good. Today, we are taking a nostalgic trip down memory lane as we dive into the world of middle grade young adult romance novels from the late 80s, 90s, and 2000s. And we're going to talk about our gateway into romance, to adult romance. We're sharing our personal experiences, discussing popular titles of the era, and exploring how these books influenced our perception of love and relationships. So get ready for a trip down memory lane filled with crushes, first loves, and timeless tales of romance. So before we get started on the gateway, let's define what makes a book a gateway into the romance genre. Is it the first book with romantic elements that you remember reading, or is it the book that sparked your interest in romance novels specifically? How would you classify your gateway?
I don't know, because honestly, my gateway into romance was my mom's Harlequins. But like, but I read all those other ones before that.
So if we look at like, go ahead, Heather, what do you got?
I think, for me, like, I think back to like what really made me love reading, because I think if I didn't love reading, I wouldn't be doing this. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So do you, so you think gateway is really just the book that made you fall in love with reading?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I feel like I think back to like when I was in third grade and my mom ordered me Babysitter Club books from the Scholastic book orders. And I think you get like four. Remember that? You'd get like four.
In the bundle.
I think I went home like over Christmas break or something and I read all of them.
Yeah. What about you, Lindsay? How do you consider the gateway? Is it your first adult romance, or is it the books that made you fall in love with reading?
I think it's a little bit of both. I agree with what Heather said. Like, if I hadn't fallen in love with reading, which for me goes all the way back to second grade, I don't think I would have had an affinity for romance, but I didn't really get into romance until college.
Okay.
So like, I didn't actually read my first romance book until later on when one of my roommates gave me one of her historicals. And then from there, I just like gobbled that up.
So my reading gateway would have been fourth grade. I think it is kind of what Heather said. I had read previous, like I'd read, you know, The Trumpeter Swans by E.B. White. I'd read Charlotte's Web. I read Anna Green Gables, Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farms. Like, I read Little House on the Prairie. I read all of those books first, second, third. But I remember in fourth grade, I had a teacher that every day when we came in from recess, she would spend 20 minutes reading us a couple chapters from a book. And they were varieties. And then it happened again in fifth grade. But in fourth grade, she, you know, she would say, okay, well, this book is out, but, you know, these are also books by this author. And she'd have them like on her chalkboard, because we still had chalkboards, leaning against the board. And you could check them out from her personal library, or you could go to the school library and grab them. And I remember the Black Stallion. There was a subsequent series of Black.
That's such a good story.
But like, there was the Black Stallion series that were like other horse girls and farms, and I remember reading those and falling in love and just wanting more of that, like, because as you would read some of those books, like I remember reading Hey God, It's Me, Margaret in fourth grade or fifth grade, fourth or fifth grade, and I remember feeling seen, and then reading Blubber, like
Blubber,
I was a fat kid, so reading that book I was like, oh, I'm not alone. I'm not the only fat kid in the world. So do you remember? So Heather, it was Babysitter's Club. I think Judy Blume and Black Stallions were mine. Leah, do you remember the books that helped you fall in love with reading?
Nancy Drew.
Oh.
Like we read a lot of Nancy Drew and like Trixie Belden books, like, cause, and like the Hardy Boys, like the, I always liked the mystery, but Nancy Drew and Ned Nickerson, like, there's just something about the two of them.
I get it. The Boxcar Children.
Yes.
And the adventures they went on. What about for you, Lindsay? Do you remember the books from grade school that you fell in love with?
I remember. I have like literally all of them. In my mom's attic. So it started out in like second grade. So I started reading chapter books kind of early. I started with Cows, which is like a very entry level chapter book. And then from there, I started reading Saddle Club, hardcore into the horse world. But Saddle Club like actually was interesting because it was like a middle grade book, like an elementary middle school book. But then they released Fine Hollow series, which was when the girls got into high school, and it started de delving into like more complicated topics, which I loved. And then in high school, it was like from there, I just read everything that was in my literally everything that was in my school library.
So if we look at middle grade, which is, our Babysitters Clubs, our Anna Green Gables, do you have a favorite book or series? So obviously for Lindsay, it was Saddle Club. Like it was, she was in her horse girl era, which I
She was
love.
in her horse
That's
girl era.
awesome.
Does anybody else remember? Like, I think it was Judy Blume and Tale of a Fourth Grade Nothing, and then reading Oh My, Oh God, there, it's me, Margaret,
Liked Ramona Quimby, age 8.
That
and
was good
she,
too.
Henry and Beezus, like that was romantic-ish for middle school.
Logan in
Logan
Babysitter's Club.
Logan and
Loves
Marianne,
Marianne.
Team
Well,
Marianne.
Team Logan all the way.
It's
Well, and
super.
like this, the Sweet Valley High ones,
Well, there was Sweet
like
Valley Middle School or Junior High
there was,
first.
yes. And then they went high. But
I
like,
was
because that whole relationship like stayed together too.
talking to a friend about this who's an avid reader, and her mom was a teacher. And so I just said I had to look up the bookstore chain that we would go to. So we would go on vacation in the summer. And I remember my mom taking me to Dalton Books.
Dalton
Dalton
Books,
Books. And
yes.
I would get the Babysitter Club, like special edition, like those thick ones,
Yeah, that were
And
the
she's like,
summer
your mom,
series.
yeah. She's like, your mom bought those? And I was like, well, they weren't available in the library because the waiting list was so long. And so we would go to our cabin and I would read.
How
And
many
so,
people dreamed that they would get hired by a family and go on vacation to Virginia Beach with
or
that
on a
family?
cruise.
On a cruise with that
Well,
family as a babysitter and spend their summer vacationing with other families.
just the
Who believed
idea,
that?
like just the idea of having a phone line of your very own in your bedroom where you like people could
Claudia,
call
right?
you and you
Yeah.
didn't have to like fight with like other people in the
Siblings. Wasn't
house
it Claudia
because
that had the
you
phone?
Yeah.
was it? Yeah, it was Claudia.
What
But you
is
didn't.
Jenny doing? She's on YouTube. Jenny.
Because Jenny loves us so much.
She was Sweet
But
Valley
you
High, she
like
said.
because two phone lines was not the average person's life back in the
No.
day.
I will be honest. I had my own phone line.
What?
I had
I
a private
didn't.
owned phone line in a clear phone with like the inner
Oh
workings and the
yeah. You
neon
had that
colors.
phone, that's
I
still
have that
so had
phone
that phone.
too. I
See,
so had that
we
phone.
had two phone lines, but my dad owned his own business. So one was like the business line and one was the personal line. So
I
we
remember
were
when we got call waiting and three-way calling.
I
Call
was
waiting was the
college
bomb.
when that came out.
All that stuff was around, but like we were too budget to have it. Like we had the dial-up line and we had the phone line, and actually like we didn't even have them separated until I was in 11th grade. Like they were the same line, so if you were on the internet, nobody was on the
Christy owned the phone line. It was Christy's great idea, was book one, and it came out in 1986
But
with the
Claudia
original.
was a really cool one. Like she, well,
Lindsay,
Claudia was the artsy one, which
we
is
didn't
why
even.
like
You had internet in high school? That wasn't even a thing for me.
Well, Lindsay,
So
I think, is a
we
little
had
younger than
internet
we
in
are.
high school, but we also didn't have cable till I was like really old because the cable lines did not come to my home because we lived too far out in the like in the sticks.
My parents just got, I think it was in 2018 or 2019. That's just when they upgraded past dial-up.
Oh man.
Our hearts are
Anyway.
breaking for your mom and dad right now. Okay,
I
so middle
know.
grade popular titles from the 80s and 90s would have been Anna Green Gables by L.M. Montgomery,
It's like the
Babysitter's
original,
Club.
like enemies to lovers right there.
Yeah. The Babysitter's Club by Anne M. Martin were primarily focused on friendship, entrepreneurship, and the beloved series often explored themes of crushes, first love, particularly as the characters grew older in later installments. Mm-hmm. The Sweet Valley Twins series. So it wasn't junior high or middle school. It was just when they were the twins by Francine Pascal. This spun off to the popular Sweet Valley High series, following the adventures of the identical twins, Jessica and Elizabeth Wakefield, as they navigated middle school life, including crushes and friendship. So all those books had romantic elements.
But wait, Jenny says there's more. So it was Sweet Valley Twins, Sweet Valley High senior year, and then, which is her favorite, and then Sweet Valley University.
I didn't know they went to university.
I feel like I need to read this now.
Funny. We should do like a throwback episode where we read like our favorite Sweet Valley.
We might need to. So then that takes us, like Heather's like on Google right now buying things.
We have all like a ton of like My Babysitter Club books because Girl Child and my house like devoured those.
Yeah. So Rebecca's, Becky's asking Thornbirds on that list, or was I the only one? I'm pretty sure she's the only one reading Thornbirds in middle school. Because that's like reading North and South. Death, dying, and sex.
Yeah, but she also said her gateway was Days of Our Lives. So.
Well, and I saw she read V.C. Andrews. Tell me your mom didn't pay attention to what you were reading without telling me that your mom didn't pay attention to what you're reading.
Yeah, one of these things is not like the other.
You guys.
Watching Amanda said she read and watched The Thornbirds.
So no. Susie started reading romance in the early 80s. And so she, because Susie's a little older than we are, she didn't ever read Babysitters. So I'd be curious, Susie, to know what were the books of your middle school and high school youth.
Yes.
So let's move on to young adults, which I'm going to be really honest. I picked my first romance up, adult romance, Jude Devereaux, at age 12. So seventh grade, summer between sixth and seventh grade. So I don't know that I read a ton of YA, but I do remember reading Forever by Judy Blume.
I think I read everything that Judy Blume put out.
Well, that book, Forever, incredibly controversial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because especially for the time.
It was, it's a classic that transcends generations. This novel explores the relationship between two teenagers, Catherine and Michael, as they navigate the complexity of first love and sexual awakening. So that was virginity and all of that kind of stuff. And that book was a lot. It got banned in a lot of high schools. I believe Demi got it banned in her school because she passed it around.
It's Demi's fault.
So
you go, Demi.
She grew up in Illinois. So I'll ask her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So honestly, guys, what were your YA romances? Because honestly, or your YA books? Sweet Valley High School, but
I mean, I've like this, we have the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants here, and like I've read those series, but I've read those when I was in like my 30s because I was like, I wanted to read them because I had heard good things about the series, but I didn't read them as a kid. I mean, I wasn't technically like a kid still when these came out, but I didn't read them when I was in school still. I read them as an adult, so I read them with a different mindset.
And I read Twilight, which is technically YA. I read it as a 30-year-old new mom.
Same.
Yeah.
So that came out when I was in high school. So I did read it in high school. Vampire books were really big. There's a lot of vampire romances. I remember really liking Rachel Kahn had a series. And then she wrote some. Anyway, the series I was thinking about is Gingerbread, and it's about this girl who lived in San Francisco, and then she moved to New York, and it follows her tales. But like, I read so much. Like, for YA, I read pretty much everything that was available. I would book swap with my friends, and then I would check out every day at school 3 books in the morning from the library, and return them at the end of the day. And then because that was the limit. They would limit you. And my teachers were constantly telling my mom, like, Lindsay just reads. That's it.
Lindsay doesn't pay attention to class. She just reads.
Yeah. I mean, at least you weren't being disruptive.
And I make good grades. I mean, not my fault.
I mean, then who cares?
I mean, I read or cause trouble. Like, I wasn't
I
reading.
did not read in high school because I was busy. I mean, like, I played sports and I was a
Well, but a lot of
cheerleader.
high school reading for me was John Steinbeck, which you want to talk taboo and forbidden? Read some John Steinbeck.
I mean, yeah.
Thoreau, which read his
There's a lot of.
poems. You think he's talking about the woods. He's not talking about the woods. I did read a lot of the classics in high school and college, but
Because you had to.
I'm going to really tell you, though, there was always a romance novel in my backpack.
I mean,
Because.
I in high school, like I read a decent amount. I mean, I had to read like the like required books and do all that stuff. So like there was a lot of classics, and I went through a classic phase in my 20s because like they're the ones that I hadn't read in high school. But I didn't do it. I mean, I mostly read my mom's Harlequins on the weekends in high school.
And I've talked about this before. My mom had the traveling bag of paperbacks between her lady friends, that once a week you got the new paperback bag or the paper bag of books.
Well, because you used paper bags back then too.
Right. Like that was the best when it came to our house and we got the new bag of paperbacks. Like digging through those, oh,
You never knew what
Oh,
you were gonna
pure
find.
joy.
My uncle was a garbage man for the city of Minneapolis. And so all the ladies loved him. And so they would make him treats. And then they would put all their romance novels in grocery bags, the brown paper bags, and put them on top of the garbage cans. So then he would take them. And then he would bring them up to the cabin, and then my mom and my aunt, my grandma would read, and then I would grab them. And my grandpa called them the bodice rippers and
I
whatever.
love that.
And so I would read whatever they were reading, and
Yeah. I do agree. Susie brings up a really good point about there wasn't really YA available late 70s, early 80s. And I really do think the genre of YA kind of had a dawning in the early 2000s with the Princess Diaries, the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. It was not something that. They always say, like, as a teacher, you should expect, or as a parent, you should expect your child to be reading books of characters that are anywhere from 2 to 5 years older than your student, because that's the way to keep them engaged. Like, they're gonna read older characters than what they are in age, which makes sense because, I read Sweet Valley High 6th and 7th grade, and then well, 6th grade, and then by 7th, I was all in on the naughty bodice rippers.
I mean, I don't think I really followed that because 7th grade, I definitely was reading like Mary Higgins Clark's books.
Yeah. Well, and that
Because
brings up a really great point, too, is a lot of times, so if we go and we go looking at like the evolution of the average romance reader, which we're all going to be really real here, we are not average. We are a bunch of naughty birds.
Some naughtier than
Some of us are
others.
naughtier than others, but the evolution would be like you did got finished with Princess Diaries, you went to Twilight, and then
There's
maybe
a progression.
you tried some women's fiction with romantic elements, like The Devil's Book, or Kristen Hannah, or but then
Susan
there,
Mallory.
yeah, Susan Mallory, hers are lighter on romance, more women's fiction. But then there is kind of this other subset of books, which is cozy mysteries. And those had romantic elements, and some of them had open door romantic scenes. So I went, it's really interesting because, Babysitter's Club, Sweet Valley High, Jude Devereaux. And then after I had children, I still was reading romance, but then I did read some YA, and then I went on to read Cozy Mysteries. I read the Janet Ivanovich series. I think I made it to 24 before I gave up.
Well, because they all became the same. It's like just pick a dude, man. Like pick a man. Like
Were
this
you
triangle is too
team
much.
Morelli or team Ranger?
I mean, it depended on the day, but I'm more of a team ranger because
Team Morelli, you're wrong.
Oh, I'm Team Morelli also.
Yeah.
So people are
Well,
saying Danielle Steele was also like probably
oh
the
yeah,
first.
probably a really good one. Do you
I used to
remember
read her.
the Lifetime Danielle Steele movies?
Yes.
They were so
Like,
naughty, but they were on
I
in the
loved
middle
a
of the
Lifetime
day.
movie. I loved a Lifetime movie.
But you think about that, like there was like lingerie and clothing on the floor and then movement in the bed and then fade to black. Like that was some naughty Saturday afternoon TV.
It's true. Wow. You went from your Saturday cartoons to the Lifetime movies.
Lindsay's dying because she's like, I didn't do any of this. You people are crazy.
I mean, we're I was old. I'm telling you, if you want to limit your child, like dial up, no cable TV. Like it was just a product of like where we lived. It wasn't like anything. As soon as it was available, they got it.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It was like the product of where we lived. So like even a basic internet search was just impossible.
Basic internet searches did not really exist with our dial-up because
we had card catalogs and encyclopedias.
I was going to say, I used to ride my bike to the library.
I could not ride my bike to the library.
So there was no riding a bike to
my library was 20 minutes away as well. I mean, everything was 20 minutes away. Yeah. So.
I remember. Go ahead, Lindsay.
Oh, I was just going to say, so like I really didn't have access to like really much of anything. Like basically I was limited by what we were buying at Barnes and Noble and then like what I was borrowing from friends or what I could get at school in the library, because it was just like not going to happen because I just didn't have
access. I mean, if I didn't have the Scholastic books, like we wouldn't have as I wouldn't have had as many books as we have.
The Scholastic books did nothing for me. Like I would literally get my Scholastic book order and they would be done in a day. Like that was not.
But at that point I cracked a spine so I could reread them.
But this, like as an educator, this is what comes, like what I'm going to say. Parents who read and encourage their children to read have readers, right? Mm-hmm. Like people are always.
Not true. Well,
so
not true.
I think, no, but like, I would say like our parents didn't stifle our love of reading. None of us here we were not stifled. Like people are amazed that my children read, and my husband is like, well, their mother wears a shirt that says I close my book to be here and always has her Kindle in her hand, so that's why.
I bought a new fanny pack so my Kindle would fit it.
That's why we weren't stifled.
No, and I'm a reader, obviously. I mean, reader. Mm-hmm. But my girl child was a reader. She would read. And I used to have to threaten to take away books so she would get her schoolwork done. Mm-hmm. I had to be like, your library books are have to leave the room until your math is done. But, you know, my boy child was not a reader. Now, at 20, almost 21, he is becoming a reader. And I like that. Like, it's hard, but I remember fighting. And I think that this comes down to how you approach books in an education mm-hmm. system. Mm-hmm. When you are making it a chore and you're pushing books down, I don't know that I would be the reader I was in middle school if I had to read a certain graded book and had to get so many points per reading for so many pages mm-hmm. for it to count. Now, am I all for Team Book It? Yes. I was all for Team Book It, but I hate these reader programs that are in schools.
I think there is a way of, like, I mean, maybe it's because I'm in Minnesota and we approach things differently. Kids will, if you encourage kids to read what they want to read, they will become readers. I was a reading teacher for many years, and my philosophy was, I don't care what you read. You want to read a magazine, whatever. If you're reading, I don't care what you read.
I had the fight with my child's teacher because he would read graphic novels. And the amount of fighting that those didn't count towards his reading goal because they weren't books.
But it still tells a story. Like my oldest, like he is more of a graphic novel kid. Because honestly, like he has a hard time focusing. And so like, unless it's a book that really, really interests him and we have not found that with him yet.
Yeah.
Like he just wants a graphic novel, and that's fine.
Right. Well, I'm fine with it. It just didn't work.
Like a lot of the books now that come out for the teenage age group is not really written for the teenage attention span at all. Like they're all 350 plus pages. Like they're big, thick books. That was like when I first started picking up YA books, like that wasn't the case. Like it was usually like maybe 200 pages was a book, or maybe sometimes 300, but like now it's like at minimum 350 pages. It's a trilogy. It's not just a standalone. Like you have to read multiple books to get the story. And I think like the trilogy thing is really different too, because like by the time I got to college, I think most of the YA books that were coming out were more like series oriented. Or like they didn't necessarily wrap the story in book one.
So I just looked up a Sweet Valley High. Their page count is 250. But I don't know like what size that is
That's
or
a mass
anything.
market size, so it'd be the short book.
So
But
their
they're
print was always bigger though
so
too.
it would
Like
have been
they didn't use a 12-point font.
it would have been likely somewhere around 40,000 to 60,000 words.
There is a series I want to recommend if you have young, like
Go for it.
middle schoolish age girls. It's called the Gallagher Girls series by Allie Carter. It's like
Allie
an all
Carter
girl.
also writes adult romances and has some cozy mysteries.
So this series is really great. It's about an all girls school, but they train them to be spies. And so there's some like romance. It's so good. Like the first book is called I'd tell you I love you, but then I'd have to kill you. It is, and the books are adorable, and I am telling you, my girls just like powered through them and love them. And then when I say my girls, I mean my students. And then the boys were like, I want in on this. And so then they started reading them, and they were like, my kids devoured them. They loved them. So if you, that might be a good series.
Ka
That
Allie
does
Carter,
sound
if you're
good.
looking for an adult Allie Carter, The Blonde Identity, it's like a fun romantic suspense. It's a trad pub out of Avon, so I would look at it for your library first. But it was super fun. And it had But it's a little slower burn. It's a lot more closer to women's fiction. But there were some great kind of in between romance and women's fiction that I read through the years. Nancy Martin had her Blackbird Sisters, and it was a series of books that took place in the main line of Philadelphia. And this one sister, like her parents have run away with the family fortune, and all she is left with is this falling down farm outside of Philly. Her two sisters that are complete wackadoos, and a like top tier retro vintage all name brand fashion like wardrobe that was her grandmother's, and she ends up hooking up with a guy that's like a known mobster. It's such a fun series, and the author just got her rights back and has been republishing them.
What is that called?
It's Nancy Martin's The Blackbird Sisters. It is so fun. I highly recommend it. But with her,
So, go ahead.
there was also Elaine Brauman. She wrote The Killer Hare. It was made into like a Lifetime movie. Ellen. I think it might have been Ellen. Anyway, this was like a Washington, D.C. society reporter. That was always getting herself into a mystery. Kind of like Joanna Fluke and the Cookie Jar Murders. Did you read those? And those had like cookie recipes in every book. And it takes place, I think, in Minnesota. You didn't read those, Heather?
Oh, I know
What?
what you
The
mean, but
cookie
I
jar?
can't think
What?
of who it is,
It's
too.
Joanna Fluke. Is Hannah Swanson is the main character. She owns a cookie shop in small town Minnesota. Like, that's how I learned that. People in Minnesota have in the winter have to like heat block their diesel like engines to get their trucks going and stuff. Like I didn't know this was a thing.
People in Pennsylvania have to do that too.
Okay,
So I
where
would
I live in
assume the
Ohio.
people in Ohio do.
I'll ask my mom if she's read those.
They're so cute. They're so funny. And the cookie recipes in those books are so good. But Nancy. Oh shoot. She wrote The Fixer Upper. Marianne Andrews, maybe? There's another Nancy. Hold on. Mary Kay Andrews. She's kind of a little lighter. Like I read those too. And those were really great. Like lighter on the romance, more on the story. She had one that I just loved called The Hissy Fit. And it's like she's divorced, finds out that her husband's cheating, and she just like throws the biggest like hissy fit in this small southern Georgia town. And it's so funny. So funny.
It is The Hannah Swenson Mystery by Joanna Fluke.
Yes.
It is a series of 30 books, and they are currently in Kindle Unlimited.
Oh.
Oh, nice.
And each book, you guys, has these cookie recipes. One summer, my mother and I, and I'm pretty sure it was before I had kids, my mother and I baked like 20 of the recipes. Because we would like.
Do you still use those recipes though?
No, but there was one cookie that was called like a cherry bomb. So it was like a white Italian wedding cookie around a maraschino cherry with the stem. They were so good and buttery with like the white powder. It was like a 4th of July cookie.
Man, now I want cookies.
I want cookies too.
Dang it, Becky.
This series looks, and the covers, you guys.
Yeah, they are. Really
aren't they
cute.
Adorable?
They have an apple turnover murder.
But it's Minnesota, like cute small town antics.
Oh, I'm going to have to read it.
And there is a love interest. And I do think they eventually, at first there's two love interests, but then she gets down to the one guy. And okay, I think so they get engaged. Good. She has a terrible mother in that series. Like the mother just wants her to get married. Like that's the definition of success. Not that her cookie store.
Her Mrs. degree.
Yeah. But the cookie store is like the hub of all the town gossip.
Oh, nice.
It's phenomenal. Lindsay's like, this is not what we're supposed to be talking about.
No, I want to know, like, what is
this? She's getting closer because she's listening.
It's the Hannah Swenson Cookie Jar Murders.
Mysteries.
The first book is A Chocolate Chip Cookie Murder.
Yep.
That's book one. And apparently they're Kindle Unlimited.
Mm-hmm. They are.
We should read one and then all bake a different cookie from it.
That's a good idea.
Should do that.
It'll be so fun.
Hey, somebody needs to write that down so we don't forget.
Somebody on YouTube, remind us. Amanda.
Jenny, are you taking notes?
Also, another great one is Donna Andrews. She has a whole series and there's birds in the title. Like, Heather, this is like an episode for your mom.
Can you read that? Rebecca,
I actually can because there aren't actually birds.
Well, birds Jeremy so can make them. Amanda said, "I'm not picky."
Donna Andrews, like the Puffin Murders, like there are all these cute little bird names in the books, and they were so fun. There's a whole thing with croquet and flamingos. Anyway,
Jenny says she's not baking either, so
they suck.
I will bake.
Wait, does her Jeremy bake? Maybe the Jeremys can bake.
So. Go over to Becky's and have her bake, and Mike will just feed you cocktails, Jenny. That's true.
Mike would probably bake for this.
Or any
in
of
our
you are
show
welcome.
Notes, I wrote down the cozy mystery authors I thought we should talk about. So it was Ellen Burrum, B-Y-E-R-R-U-M. She wrote the Killer Hairstyle series, which is, again, she's kind of got a retro fashion sense. It falls onto line with Nancy Martin. And Mary Kay Andrews, she has Southern Chaos for heroines, Donna Andrews, which were the bird title mysteries, Joanna Fluke, which is the cookies, and Janet Ivanovich. And I liked those books. And it was kind of actually because when I first started reading adult romances, I read mostly historicals and really didn't read the contemporary books I read were these cozy mysteries.
I really got into women's fiction. Like, that's sort of what kind of drove me into romance. I was reading a lot of, like, Kristen Hannah, Emily Giffen, Susan Mallory. And then
Nora Roberts, was also a great one as a transition from women's fiction to romance.
See, I went hardcore into the Harlequins, and then I kind of went, like, Michael Crichton, John Grisham, like all of those. Like, I went through a big Stephen King phase. So I went, like, I took a hard left for a while. And then I came back. Becky says she'll bake if she's invited.
Everybody can bake.
Emily Giffen too.
So do you think that, given what we read, that those influenced our look on society and romance? Because we always hear the adage that romance gives you
Unrealistic
unrealistic
expectations.
expectations into relationships. Do you think the fact that we started reading books with romantic elements in them, so as young, middle-aged girls, as we were coming into our own, do you think that that affected our view of romance?
No. I mean, I was in high school. I think I was in high school when the Meg Cabot books came out. I was reading them like as they were coming out. But like I went straight from YA into like Stephanie Lawrence or paranormal romance, like door wide open, wide open, like abs on the cover kind of books. It was fine. But like, I'm sorry, you're just not going to go to a bar and meet a man who's turning into a dragon. That's just not realistic.
That's too bad.
I mean, it's kind of sad.
That would be fun.
That there aren't any aliens kidnapping me.
Just think how much money you would save if he could just fly you places.
Oh my gosh.
Charlie, get wings.
Yeah, seriously, Charlie.
If you look back on these books, if we look back on these stories, things like The Babysitter's Club, uh-huh. or even, you know, Forever by Judy Blume or the Sweet Valley High stuff, do you think that the themes that are in those books would resonate to current audiences of the same age? So if we hand those Babysitter Club books to our current 9, 10, 11-year-old, do you think that those books would still be enough feeling of current day to resonate with those readers?
Yes and no, because I will say when the girl was reading them, she was like, I wish I could do this. She's like, but it would definitely be easier now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, it does translate in the sense where like the idea is still cool. Like the thought process behind like being like a business owner at like 13 years old is like cool, but it's like the idea of having her own phone was like, why is it so difficult? 'Cause I mean, we don't have a house phone. Like we have cell phones now. Like the idea, like, so like part of it does still work and some of it does not.
Yeah.
I think there's so many more options for kids. Like I think there are a lot more YA authors and books available to kids that just, they weren't a thing for us. We didn't have that.
Yeah.
And they have good, I mean, the books that kids have available to them are really good.
Mm-hmm.
And at varying reading levels. So we were reading books that were about our technical reading level, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So do you think that these books such as Babysitter's Club, and we know that Twilight influenced a whole generation of writers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like we know that Twilight influenced E.L. James, which then influenced Christina Lauren and influenced Helena Hunting and Jiffy Kate. We know this. Like we know this. But do you even think looking back at things like Sweet Valley High or Babysitter's Club, do you think that there is some of those that influenced writers now? Well, or do you think we've moved past all of that and it's really just
I think fanfic is one of those things that has always been around. It's just, it never had a name before because there wasn't a platform to put it on.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the big thing. Like when we were younger.
Did you write fanfiction on your notebook? Because I did.
I mean, I will admit that I wrote love letters to Logan.
Okay. I wrote fanfic. I wrote fanfic about Good Charlotte. That is how lame Young Lindsay was.
Wait, who's Good
I would have
Charlotte?
Liked Young
Wait.
Lindsay.
Wait, who's Good Charlotte?
A band.
Oh, a band.
They're a band.
I didn't know that. So you wrote fan fiction about a band?
Which is so funny because, like, Rockstar is not one of my favorite genres.
Did you do Naughty Things with the band?
I don't know.
Okay.
This was... It wasn't...
I think that like I think the Young Lindsay and Young
like
Leo
me.
Would have been
it was
friends.
Like, I would invent storylines for the band members. And I was like very obsessed with them, like having death inspiring their art.
I wrote Saved by the Bell fan fiction. I had a whole thing
for
Zachary Morris and
I love
Slater.
AC Slater.
AC Slater. They had a fight over me.
Zach.
They both wanted me. I was in a love triangle with them.
I was Team Slater. Zach was too blonde for me.
I was in a love triangle with them. Loved them.
So oh my gosh.
But this is my point. Like, we had that, but it wasn't the same because there was no platform to put it. It was just in our notebooks because only had notebooks and MS-DOS. I mean, you had to wait for the computer to boot up and then put in the prompts.
WordPad.
We didn't have a computer at my house until 1997.
We always had them because my dad's work too.
Yeah.
But it was like MS-DOS and like you had to wait. With like
stealing my brother's electric typewriter that he got for college when he went away to college in 1988. I stole his typewriter and got the typewriter paper, you know, the very thin typewriter paper.
Yeah.
And I typed out my love triangle. I wish I could find that.
That'd be amazing.
That would be.
So in love.
I would read that. So
Becky G wrote a General Hospital like fan fiction for a storyline that she wanted to work out.
She wanted the Jax Brenda Sunny storyline to work out a certain way.
Kind of storyline?
Hey.
I mean, it might have been.
So the internet has sort of been a good thing and it saved us from a lot of embarrassment.
Oh my God.
Sure.
Yeah. So much.
Could you imagine if some of that fan fiction resurfaced?
Just honestly, just some of the things that we did, I'm happy that cell phone cameras did not exist.
Okay.
Because, cell phones were not mainstream.
What was your first adult romance or author? And how did you find it? And where did it lead you? Do you remember?
Mine was Stephanie.
I don't remember specifically.
What was yours?
Mine was Stephanie Lawrence. It was the Sinsters. The first two books in the dual book, like the big blue edition that had both of them. And I devoured it. And then I read every single one of them that was in the library, like everything.
There's a spicy like woodcutter's cottage theme in that first book. What? Like they get naked at like 10%.
And then the third book has literally like a 10-page sex scene.
Stephanie Lawrence, the Sinister Brothers, like the devil is the first book. Mm-hmm. And she's basically in nothing but her under like slip and it's raining and he's holding her on horseback. And then they go to the wood cottage to hide from the rain and he starts a fire and it's spicy.
He starts a fire.
I don't remember anything happening in the cabin, but I do remember they had to get married because they spent the night together.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but it just was a lot of talk about nipples. Like there wasn't actual sex but it was like, it was steamy and lots of like almost nakedness.
All of that was very steamy. And from there, then I went into paranormal land and that was really fun.
That was really fun. Heather, do you remember your author?
Well, so I wrote a lot, read a lot of women's fiction. And then when 50 Shades of Grey came out, that was sort of after Twilight and then 50 Shades of Grey. And then I went there and then I just kept going and went to like Sylvia Day and Maya Banks. And
Laurelyn Page had Sylvia Day was Crossfire. Laurelyn Page was, what was hers? She had one that was kind of in that same 50 Shades of Grey.
What was that one called?
Fix You, Fix You series. The Fix series. Leah, do you remember yours? I know you did Harlequins, but do you remember from 2010? I don't remember
specifics now.
Because you never read 50 Shades.
No, I did not. Like, it was just one of those things that never, like, I had no urge to read it.
Yeah.
And then I heard how badly it was like edited and I was like, yeah, no, thank you. Yeah.
The Crossfire series though is.
Yes. The Crossfire series is very good by Sylvia Day. I started with The Conquest by Jude Devereaux. And then I read Jude Devereaux, Joanna Lindsay, Judith McNaught. I read the Stephanie Lawrence books, but in 2010, I did read 50 Shades of Grey. And that led me to the Ethan Frost series by Tracy Wolfe, which you want to talk about bonkers and sexy and, oh my God, what the heck am I reading? Read that. But then from there, I ended up with the Maya Banks. And earlier this week, I shared my memory from 10 or 12 years ago when I first found Maya Banks' first book.
Yeah.
And how excited I was for this family and this series. And to be honest, I still love that series, even though I know, Leah, it's not done. It will never be done. But I love it.
I know. I've learned to accept it.
Have you?
I've learned. No, I haven't. That was a big fat lie. I have not.
It's
never getting done.
It's not.
Do you have a first love?
All like real somber with that. Like,
I know. It's really sad. Do you have a first love from one of the first adult romances? Is like one of those guys still a book boyfriend for you? From one of your first romances? Who?
Theo Holler. I mean, Kelly Jameson.
Yeah. So good. Kelly Jameson. I'll never forget stumbling upon Hockey Romance after, you know, reading like the Maya Banks, and because I was limited to what was in my library. So, you know, it was the, if you read this, you might like this kind of recommendations. Mm-hmm. And I found, that's how I found Kelly, and I found Sawyer, and gosh, those books were so good.
I'm going to tell you about my first book boyfriend.
Okay, tell us about your first book boyfriend, Lindsay.
He's from The Treasure Keeper by Shayna Abe. It's a dragon book, and he's a ghost. And she is like one of the only dragons in her clan that's a female. And there it's like childhood enemies to lover situation. She winds up being the only one who can see him in his ghost state. And then she's got to like, the dragons are being hunted, and she's got to like go and save him. And I love that she had to save him. Yeah. That was really
good. That is good.
Mm-hmm.
That's 10 out of 10 quality right there.
Becky G also says Beth Carey. She said no one ever talks about her.
Oh, her books were, they're spicy. Now they're written, they would drive Lindsay crazy because they are written in like long form. Like you would get a section of the book and there would be another book. And then there would be another book. And it took like 4 or 5 books to complete one story.
Yeah, I would
hear like a condensed Reader's Digest.
Yes, yes. I did read Beth Carey, and her books are super spicy. They are QB Tyler level of spicy.
Was there plot? Though?
So they're like serials. No, plot was light, but good characters.
I could go with that.
So
that's one thing. Like, so you're talking about like the serial style for a while, like maybe like 7, 8. Years ago, there were quite a few authors back then who were doing serial style trilogies, where instead of giving you like a full length book, like they were full length books, but they were breaking out 3 acts and you got them as a trilogy and you had to spend like 10 bucks on them. And I hated that.
But
like mostly done.
But we still have Sky Warren doing that. We still have, I'm trying to think, there was someone else recently I came across and I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Laura Lynn Page did that for a long time. The only time I will forgive a trilogy or a series like that is like what we had with The Perfect Gentleman. Like it was an overarching storyline, so you had to read all 5 books, but it was a different couple each time, so we got multiple points of view.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get bored with each couple. Like I can read them for a book.
Mm-hmm. I don't hate a duet. Because, like, sometimes, like, the author, I mean, as long as I know it's a duet going in, because we all know, like, I can't handle a Cliffy. I will rage text after Cliffies. But, like, there's just, sometimes with that trilogy, it's just, like, you're putting these characters into too much. Like, why? Like, what is the necessary need for this other conflict? Like, why? Like, nobody's life is that complicated.
No. Are there any other gateway romances we missed or anything you guys need to talk about when we're talking retro or nostalgic romances, cozy mysteries, anything like that? Did we miss anything?
I think we covered
this whole chat is just crazy. And I mean, like, this is a big We have
Although
all
I
of
will
us
say,
have a lot to
I did
say.
read the Charlene Harris Sukey Stackhouse books. I
Sukey
really
Stackhouse,
enjoyed those.
Anne Rice, who started with Interview with a
Interview with
Vampire.
a Vampire.
I mean, who is that? Anybody?
I mean,
Anybody?
nope. I did
Okay.
not.
Okay. So we are back with our newest segment. Can you guess the book? Each week we share a quote from a recent or popular Buzzing About Romance read. You have the chance to email us your guess at quote@buzzingaboutromance.com, and we will announce the correct guess on next week's show. So I'm going to be really honest. The last 2 weeks, I have pulled quotes from the quote section in our Discord, which means one of you people listening right now are the ones that shared the quote. And nobody guessed. So nobody
Oh.
guessed last week's was, some might say the author of his story could have cut out the last 15% and everyone would have been pleased with the outcome. This was a Megan Quinn title. He is not my type. So, but this week, here I am trying to be a changed man, and it's an angel attempting to provoke the devil to come out and play.
Where do
That
you
is.
know that? I wasn't from meet, but I know it. I'm sorry.
I know
I
you
don't
know
know
it,
this one.
and I 100% guess that Amanda knows it. So,
Uh-oh, I did something.
Amanda says she knows it.
yep.
Heather's breaking things over there in
What'd you
Minnesota.
break?
I went to like reply to somebody and it said I snoozed them or something.
Oh.
I'm not good at this.
Hopefully somebody didn't get snoozed.
Sorry.
It's okay. Can you unsnooze them?
Maybe.
I don't know. Okay.
Technology is not our friend sometimes.
Okay,
We are showing our ages, people.
it's that time, you guys.
It's
It's
that
that time.
time for book
Book of the
the
week. Book of the
wheel.
week. We're at book of the week. First up, Heather. Heather, what's your book of the week?
Well, it's been a slow week because I've been really busy with like work and life. But I picked up today Zeus. It is a Mike Bravo ops novel by Eden Finley, and it comes out later this week. And it is a romantic suspense. And I really can't wait to dive in. I got in like 3 pages, and Becky's like, "Hey, remember we are meeting?" And I was like, "Oh shoot." So.
It's okay. It's okay. Lindsay, what's your book of the week?
Hot Looking by Tara Wyatt. It is a baseball romance. It has a female coach, and the romance is between her and a catcher on her team. He gets traded to her team. And from there, it's
How
like, it's very,
is the baseball though?
it's phenomenal. It's the whole book because they both live baseball. I loved it. I loved it so much.
Okay.
Well, because we know you're very particular when it comes to your baseball books.
Yep. These are not in KU. These are not in KU, I will say that. I think there is a couple in Hoopla that you can listen to, but I will say they're like $5 each, but I just kind of bought all the paperbacks because I'm reading them all.
Fair,
You
fair.
read
That's
paperbacks?
fair.
She
I
does.
do. I choose
We
violence.
don't.
It
We don't talk
stresses
about
Leah out. We don't
You
talk.
want me
It
to send you
does.
pictures? She never like mentions the fact that it's a paperback because it stresses me out.
Leah, what's your book of the week?
So I actually had to look back. I read one new book this week. The rest were all like books for work, so they don't count. But I read Tangled in Lies by Jasmine Miller. It's her brand new one that just came out Friday. It's a sister's Beyonce. Like, she put him in jail. He comes back with a revenge plot. There's like darkness to it. It actually was very good. I like the twists like that she created. She is writing a book two in the series too, and we meet that hero and that heroine. We actually meet the hero like at the beginning. And I really enjoyed his character, so I'm really excited we're getting another book in this series. But it was good. Like, she's going more like darker than her fresh or like Kings of the Water, but it's not mafia like her Forbidden Freedom one. But I like the way that the story played out.
Okay.
What about you, Beck? What was yours?
My book of the week was Wild Ride by Kate Meter. It's a single mom older heroine, younger hero. It's single mom meets bad boy hockey player. So Lindsay and I did a quick shot of a Kate Meter romance that was a fake relationship where the heroine
that was a really good one
was paired to the hockey player, but that's mm-hmm. not who she ended up with, right? Because the hockey player mm-hmm. needed a babysitter and she was supposed to be his fake fiance. This is that hockey player's book.
Oh, is it?
Ooh. Yes, it is that hockey player. It is his book. He got in trouble for punching a player on the ice. But the player on the ice also had penalties. So now he is assigned to work at a pet shelter and adoption center to help his image. And he meets
somebody's in trouble.
He meets our heroine, who is just coming off of a really fresh, nasty divorce. She's a curvy heroine. There is some mm-hmm. body image talk and about how her husband rejected her and said he just wasn't attracted to her anymore. But her daughter is a little older and she's hockey obsessed. So this book is so good. I cannot recommend it enough. Wild Ride.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm going to have to read this one because I really like Jock Wanted.
Yeah, Jock Wanted. So it's the bad boy hockey player from Jock Wanted. So it's so good. He's so bad. He's so naughty. Just naughty. But he falls first. And he falls even better hard.
He was kind of a dumbass in that book.
No, he falls so hard. And yeah, it's a great character art. I can't recommend it enough. So,
okay, I'm going to have to read this one.
It comes out Tuesday, but I think that it's available on our website now if you want it. Okay. Patreon update. Welcome.
I like how you drew it out this time.
Do you like it? Are you loving it?
I do. I love it so much.
Welcome, new Patreon members. We don't have any new one, but we'd love to have you join us on Patreon. So if you aren't in our Patreon, we would love to have you. Exciting news, romance lovers, brace yourself, because the highly anticipated swag packs for March have officially landed into the hands of our amazing Patreon supporters. This month, we're thrilled to have the incredible Siobhan Davis and Marie Johnson as our sponsoring authors. And trust us, these packs were bursting with romance-filled treasures. But here's the best part. If you are eager to get your hands on April's swag pack, there is no time to waste. Join our Patreon family now to ensure you don't miss out on the next wave of exclusive goodies. Also, we have an announcement this week, and you will get early access. Well, actually, the announcement's next week, the first. But you will get early access to the announcement if you join our Patreon.
So, that's the boy's birthday.
So that's also join our Patreon. And if you're part of our Coffee of the Month Club, the Queen Bee tier, I just sent out the newest coffee mug.
And they're freaking adorable.
They're really great.
Carrie shared it on her social media today.
Yeah, they're so cute. Inside each swag pack, you will discover an array of delightful surprises, from romance-themed stickers to mood reader cards, carefully curated to ignite your passion for love stories. Plus, here's a little something special. We're spreading this worldwide, so international shipping is on us. And that's not all. By becoming a member of our Patreon community, you unlock a treasure trove of perks, including access to exclusive episodes and the enchanting world of Buzzing Book Club. It's a never-ending romance adventure just waiting for you to dive in. Eager to stay in the loop with our exciting events and gatherings? Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, which we now send out weekly. Like, we are on it. That will give you our latest updates on upcoming events and exclusive content. And we'll be sure to check out our event calendar on bookcaseandcoffee.com/events. From happy hours to IG lives and book clubs, there's always something fun happening in our community. And just last week announced, we are going to do some Bridgerton content in Discord. And Heather, if you need spicy Bridgerton teasers, Heather is your go-to girl. Just find Heather.
It just came up on my reels and it won't stop. And I am not sad.
I keep getting like the Colin Penelope like teasers on my TikTok. And honestly, like, we all know I have a love-hate relationship with the TikTok, but I am all in for those.
The girl who plays Penelope is Nicole. She's so beautiful. She's mm-hmm. like, I like cannot watch this with my mom because it is so spicy. She goes, this whole season is for all the wallflower girls. And yeah. I can't wait.
But also, it's not going to be anything like the book. So just You're either going to rage
Okay,
watch or just go
Leah,
into it
you
realizing it's
don't
going to be
have
completely
to be
different.
negative. Go
Oh,
in
no, I
with
am
some
all for
positive
this.
intentions.
I am all in.
No
I'm just
negativity
saying,
allowed.
I rage watch season two. I am
Well,
going
that
into season
sucked. We're going
three
to forget that even
knowing
happened.
that it is
Negative
not going to be the
Nancy has
same.
been asked to leave the chat.
I haven't
But
watched.
also, you should watch it. You can rage watch
Yeah.
it.
I'm
I
gonna.
already did. I'm gonna forget it even happened. It was terrible.
I mean, it happened, but if they ruin these two, I
We
don't
are
know what. I'm
thinking
not going to do
positive. Knock it
anything.
off, Leah. Okay, so what are you waiting for? Join us on this enchanting journey of romance. Become a cherished member of our Patreon family today. Here's to the love of romance and all things delightful. Okay.
Cheers. You didn't
Cheers.
say cheers.
I sometimes add words. I don't need to read all the words.
But it's fun.
So, and that wraps up another delightful episode of Buzzing About Romance. We hope you enjoyed taking a stroll down memory lane with us as we reminisced about our favorite middle grade and young adult romance novels from the late 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Remember to dust off your old bookshelves, revisit some of these classics for a dose of nostalgia and a sprinkle of romance. And if you have a favorite gateway romance from your own childhood, we would love to hear about them. Drop us a line on social media and share your bookish memories with us. As always, thank you for tuning in and be sure to subscribe, rate, and review Buzzing About Romance wherever you listen to podcasts or right here on the YouTube. Keep spreading love, laughter, and maybe even a few silly nicknames along the way. And this is for Leah because she loved this
I
so
did. It
much.
was very good.
Well,
I'm
and I
happy you
didn't think
kept it.
Jenny would be watching, so I didn't use We Bid You Adieu. Because I didn't
Okay.
think she would be here. Sorry. Until next time, stay fabulous, stay flirty, and keep buzzing about romance. Until next time, everyone.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.